Pastor Mike McCoy, welcoming you to the time of truth. Philemon is where I'm at, and going to read a verse and just share a few thoughts with you tonight. And I don't know what the Lord's going to do with this. I've tried to make an outline, and it just wouldn't nothing come together. So I'm going to read verses 17 and 18 out of Philemon. And when you found that, shout amen for me. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. Father, I thank you for the night and for the chance to be behind your desk. If anything is accomplished in this place tonight, Lord, it'll be by your spirit and by your power. I pray that you would fill my mouth, guard my tongue, refresh in my mind what I have studied and meditated on today, Lord. I am incapable of this without you. I pray, Lord, that you'd touch your people. That's my goal, God's to give somebody something tonight that's going to help them. And so, Lord, you do what you do, and I'll do the best I can. I'm trusting you, Lord. I'm trusting you. And I ask it in the name of my King. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, to Bible students, this is familiar ground. It's a short little book. Paul's in prison when he's writing this book. It's going out about the same time of, or most agree, that when the letter to the Ephesians was sent out and the Colossians, that Philemon was included in those letters as Paul sent them from prison. It's about 64 AD, somewhere in there, 63, right in there. Paul knew this. At this time, Paul doesn't know. Paul's only going to be alive a couple more years after this. And there's a couple of things in this that I found interesting today as I considered this. I don't know whether to take this entire chapter and give it to you verse by verse or just exactly what to do with it, to be honest. But my thought is this that I had on my mind today was on the account of another. On the account of another. My account would read bankrupt. My account would read insufficient funds. For all the things that I need in my life, spiritually and physically, naturally, I would be bankrupt in that. But when Paul said, now if he's done any wrong, just put that on my account. Now first I want us to consider, let's just go this way. First, I want us to consider the characters of this short letter. Now we have here Paul, like I said, he's from prison. Paul begins to write, and he's writing to Philemon. Philemon must have been a pretty good guy. Paul's singing his accolades. He's patting him on the back. And as a matter of fact, he's buttering him up pretty good in the first 7 verses. He's telling him, hey, you're mine. In other words, I'm the one that won you to the Lord. Paul's speaking to that. But the three main characters that we have in this story. Now, I know we have Aphia. Most agree that's Philemon's wife. We have Archippus, who we think is his son, fellow, and Philemon's a fellow laborer. Archippus is a fellow soldier, so they think that he was involved in ministry somehow, some way in that. But the three main characters in this particular little letter is this. First, you have a Roman prisoner. That would be the Apostle Paul. And Paul starts out many of his letters and points or designates himself or shows himself as an apostle. But he doesn't do it in this letter. This letter's personal. He's not saying, I have apostolic authority, though he did. Paul's writing this, and Paul is writing this letter as a prisoner. So we have a Roman prisoner who is Paul. And Paul is encouraging somebody somewhere else, even though he's in the pen. You know what that tells me? Grow where you're planted. Paul couldn't do a thing about where he was. He couldn't do one thing about where he was. And yet Paul is writing on behalf of someone else. Now, you would have thought Paul might have been sending some letters out trying to say, hey, get me out of the hoose cow. But Paul's not doing that. He's concerned about this. He is a Roman prisoner. Paul's not having the best of times. It's difficult where he's at. I mean, no one wants to be in the pen. Well, I can't say that. Maybe some do like being in prison. One fellow said this. He said, I don't know anything but prison life. I don't know what to do if I get out, so I think I'll just stay in. That's just how it is. But for the most part, it's better to be out than it is in, Jake. Would you agree with that? Not that he's been in. I'm not saying he hadn't been in. I just asked his opinion on that, okay? Chad, say, what are you doing, my boy? What are you doing? But he's trying to help somebody else, even though he's in a place that he'd rather not be. I think we could take a great lesson in that little right there. But not only do we have in the list of characters, we have a Roman prisoner, we have this. We have a runaway slave. Now the slaves in this time, you might know this, you might not know it. Slaves at this time, there's nearly 6 million slaves, they say, within the Roman Empire at this time. Plus or minus 100,000 or so. That's a whole lot of people in slavery. So if we got all these slaves in here, and we've got this runaway slave, and of all the places that this fella could run in, and the people that he could, or the person that he could run into, from he's run away from a fella who is a personal friend of Paul's, and guess who he runs into? And apparently, Paul's either preaching tied to the soldier, or they give him liberty that day to preach on the street, or he's preaching at the prison, and they come by. But somehow, through all of this, Onesimus comes up and he hears Paul preaching. Of all the people he could run into, do you want to see the providence of God? What good is a runaway slave? He is no good. That slave, look, back then, anyone who owned slaves could claim a runaway slave and keep them enslaved until opportunity presented itself to get back to the original owner, or they could just claim them if they were a runaway. So what good, this guy, look, apparently from what Paul says about Philemon, Philemon's a good guy, and this guy's run away from something that wasn't that bad, even though he was enslaved, but he's run into something that could cost him his life. He's just a runaway slave. He's not good for himself, and he's not good for anybody else. He's just running. But isn't it amazing who he ran into? Of all the people in God's great big world, he runs into the preacher who knows his master. Wonder what the conversation might have been. Where are you from? Over there. Are you run away? What's your master's name? Philemon. I know him. What's he doing? He don't know what he's doing. You know that's the way people are today? They don't know where they're running from. Don't know where they're running to. Brother Gordon, they just running. They just getting up one day doing one thing. Hey, they waiting to go to bed and get up and do it again the next day. They don't know why they're living, what they're living for. They got no plan, no agenda. It's not for the glory of God. They're just doing their thing. See how much they can gain. Hey, eat, drink, be merry, for tomorrow we die. Don't know what they're doing. Just doing the best they can. Just running away. There's a multitude out there in that world doing that very thing right now. What are they doing? Just running. Not good for anything. We have a Roman prisoner We have a runaway slave. But the third character in this, as I said, is Philemon. So we have three main characters in this letter is Paul, Onesimus, and Philemon. Are you with me? I know it's kind of like Bible study, but look, it just sounded God tonight. Here he is. Now we have our third character being Philemon. Is this, I would think, he is a rejected master. If he had wanted to tend to his master's needs, would he not have stayed where he was? So in his mind, or maybe someone sowed that seed in him and he thinks it's got to be better out there than it is right here. The proverbial grass greener on the other side. If Philemon is the man Paul said he was, and I believe Paul told the truth wholly every time he wrote something down, and he's the man Paul said he was, don't you think that Onesimus must have had it pretty good? Now, there was cruel slave owners. They beat their people. They were mean to them. But for the most part, they weren't mean to them. They treated them well because they were very valuable property. You don't take something that's valuable to you and beat it and abuse it and leave it out there if you got any sense at all. Onesimus is very valuable. His name means favored. I guess he got to thinking I'm not too favored here. I'm enslaved to a guy named Philemon, but he's not too bad. But I think I'm going to run off anyway. A lot of people run off from things that's just not that bad. I think I'd just like it better over there. I'm going to tell you, they got dirty socks too. That lawn still got to be mowed. I think I'll run away. What's he going to do? Well, I'm going to go to Rome. Run into a preacher. He had no idea what's going to happen to him. And here's his master sitting back there. And don't you guess he's thinking? Wonder what happened to Onesimus. Wonder why he ran off. I'd like to ask some people that around here, why'd you leave? Were I mean to you? What happened? Better cookies over there, Dennis, for a little while. So we have the three main characters within this letter. We have Paul, we have Onesimus, we have Philemon. Now, and I'm going somewhere in just a minute. I'm just going to be short and sweet, but I'm going somewhere. So Paul does this. Paul begins to write to Philemon because he's led Onesimus to the Lord. Now, you know this. You're here. If you're here born again tonight, you know this. You're different now than you was before you met the master. I mean, this guy's running away from something. He don't know what he's running to. I see the providence of God all over it myself. Hey, God's put me in places I never dreamed I'd be. He's put you in some too. You know he has. And you think, wow, how'd this happen? The hand of God. That's how it happens. It's the providence of the Lord. Here he is. Now, Paul begins to write in this letter. And he's telling this, said, hey, by the way, I met Onesimus. Now, he may not have been profitable to you at one time, but he will be now. Why? Here's the difference. We've seen the characters in this. Let's consider the content of it. Here it is. Here's what happens. Onesimus gets saved. So here we have a runaway slave who's been born again by the preaching of Paul. Paul shares the word. Onesimus gets saved. That's good news. It's good when somebody gets saved. Tammy had an uncle, right? That Tammy and Tim McCoy going to the hospital Sunday, had an uncle, was about to die. Didn't know how he stood with the Lord. She got in there, got to praying with him. He got right with God, died the next morning. That's good news. I mean, listen, there's one deathbed confession in the Bible, but there is one. I don't think it happens a lot, but it happens. Onesimus gets saved. Something different about him now. Look, he may have been unprofitable to you before, but now, take him back, he's going to be profitable. Watch this. Don't you guess that he wanted to stay? Now, Paul tells us in Colossians that he did stay and he helped him some. He labored with him there for a period of time. We don't know how long. But here you go. Not only is he saved, but now he's sending him back. Know about this. You know what that says? You're always going to have to confront what you got behind you to ever get past where you are. Can't do it. Got to do it. Can't go any farther till you confront. What's he going to do? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a letter, and I want you to go back and see Philemon. So, it must not have been too bad. He's thinking. Paul's giving a pretty stand-up introduction here. He's bragged on him quite a bit. He's going to send him back. So he's going to send him, but I'm going to send this letter with you. He's going to know it's from me. If it's from me, I think he'll take you. Well, Paul's pretty sure about it. Well, he's got a letter of recommendation from the Apostle Paul. How'd you like to have one of them? I got one better than that. Some of you got that. Somebody's still thinking about it. I'm going to send a letter back with you. And I want you to go. So not only the slave runs away. Are you with me? Anybody with me? I'm just about done. I promise you I am. The slaves run away. He's come. He ran into the man of God. The man of God leads him to the Lord and just happens to know the man he ran away from. Now he's saved and he's sending him back to where he come from. And here's what he wants him to do. I want you to serve him to the best of your ability. Now, you ran off on him the first time. But you go back, and you be good to him. Now, I'm going to tell you what history teaches right here. I've done some research today and found that Onesimus, they believe, later pastored a church. They think Onesimus became a pastor. It's a long way. Then number two, they think Onesimus was martyred for the cause of Christ. They think he died. Pretty strong evidence of that, unless it was a fellow with the same name, and there was others named that, but it's pretty strong evidence that he was there in a certain church as the pastor, martyred for the cause of Christ. You know what I think he done? Served till he was dead finished. I think he served till he's finished. I found it strange. Paul asked a strange thing of Philemon here. He asked him, he said, look, if he owes you anything, you put that on my account. No, what? How are you going to pay, Paul? You're in a pen. Paul says also in this letter, said, if you keep praying, I think I'm coming to you. Wrong. We got hindsight. Paul's looking ahead. Paul's thinking, by your fervent prayer, I think I'll be able to come to you. Paul's thinking that. Paul's 2 years from dying. My point is this, it did not change how Paul felt about Onesimus or Philemon or for the cause of Christ. And Paul had good intentions. He said, hey, and if he owes you anything, I'll pay that. But Paul knew. Don't you know that Paul knew that Philemon, when Onesimus shows up with a letter from the hand of Paul, he's going to look at it and say, look, you don't owe me nothing. Paul could say, I'll pay it, but I think in retrospect, I think by the sight that we have, that old Paul's knowing, hey, when he shows back up and he sees this letter, he's going to say, we're good. Why? Because you came back. And we're good to go. Someone said, and I was reading today, I've read way too much. Read long, preach short. That's the way to do it. Someone said that they find it strange that this even found into the canon of Scripture, a little letter to Philemon from a fella in the prison about a slave that had run away. Said it must mean something. God preserved it in His Word. Now he was playing, pardon the pun, he was playing devil's advocate in that, giving both sides from both views, contrasting, saying, well, you know, it's strange. Here it is, all these deep truths in the Word of God, and here we have a letter given to about a runaway slave to a man who he ran away from, and it doesn't give the end of it. You don't know what happened to it other than Paul saying grace and Christ be with you and amen. But it wasn't up for us to know how it ended. I'll give you a little history, and I only know that if who I read after is accurate today. But the Lord, you know what the Lord puts in that book right there? Everything He wants me to know, and He leaves out everything He doesn't want me to know. He wants me to study, to show myself approved, and He wants me to rightly divide the word of truth. So I'm going to do that just for a moment, and I'm done. I've given you pretty much the book report on the letter. We've seen the main characters and content inside this, and the outcome was that the letter got to Philemon, and we don't know how far it went from there, what happened to Onesimus, how long he stayed, or what transpired after that. We don't know except through history. But something I do know is verse 17 and 18 can be applied to us as Christians today. Because you know what I am and what you are if you're saved? We are heirs and joint heirs with Christ. What does that mean? That means we are in partnership. We are there. And if we're considered a partner, you know how I'm received? I'm received as Himself. You know how I'm accepted? In the Beloved. Don't have a thing to do with me. Don't have nothing to do with you. Don't have a thing to do with a position or a church or anything. The only position that's required is that we are in partnership with Him, which means we have been born into the family of God by the Spirit of God. But watch this. You know what that means? He receives me. I am accepted in the Beloved. When I come to Him, if I was coming as Mike McCoy, I'm telling you, I'd get turned away. But bless the Lord, I'm not coming in myself. When I come in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when I come in the name of the Lord Jesus, I'm accepted every time. Every time. They don't have to say anything good about me. There's nothing good to say. But oh, hey, it's not me that I'm accepting in. And you know what the Lord says? In all my faults and my failures and my problems and all these things that you can put in the barrel and my future, you know what the Lord says? Put that on my account. Because your account won't get it done. Your account's short. But I tell you what you do. Put Him on my account. Hey, and if He owes anything, I'll pay for it. Could have called this paid in full. That's what it is. The account of another. Onesimus got a good deal right here. Should have died. Runaway slave, caught, captured in Rome. She cut his head off. Fed him to the lions. They'd feed. I don't know. He could have been a Roman citizen. It's unlikely, but there is some possibilities there. But he was a slave for sure, so probably he'd have been lion bait. Instead, he got a letter of approval and sent back to the former master and said, hey, remember, watch this. I think this is the danger in us we have to be careful with. Come the piano, Jewel, so I'll quit. You know what happened when Onesimus presented that letter there, and Paul had told him to take him in as a partner? He's a brother now. What do you think that done to the other slaves there? Maybe they're not all saved, which is most probable. And they're seeing him. He's in a very sticky situation right here. If I take him in, what are they going to say? But if I don't take him in, what's Paul going to say? I believe he took him in. I don't think he stayed there with him. He had other work to do. But he went and made back and made it right with him. Paul said, charge it to me. This happened to me when I was a little boy. We lived over in Pomona for a short period of time before we went and bought the old farm, moved back down to potato farm. And Oliver Hughes had a store up there on the old road. And everybody's family in the neighborhood had a tab in the store. I mean, you just did. And on Friday, they paid Oliver what they owed him. That's how we lived back then. And I was in there one day, and a bunch of these kids had bought a bunch of stuff, and I didn't have a penny to my name, not a penny. And we was all on bicycles, and I was hot and thirsty and hungry. Kids used to get out and play, you know, and done things. They moved and rode bikes and climbed trees. And they was all sitting there, and Oliver standing back behind the counter. He said, you want a sandwich? I said, I don't have any money. He said, I'll tell you what. He said, won't you just get you a cold drink there and I'll fix you a bologna sandwich. He said, I'll just put it on your daddy's tab right here. And he said, I don't think he'll care. I said, Lord, I mean, hey, I ain't got no money. You know what I done? I got that RC Cola. I grabbed that thing, that bologna sandwich, and mayonnaise just falling out of it and a slab of tomato inch thick, and sat down on there on that front porch bench with the rest of them boys and eat my full without a penny in my pocket. He's fed me a lot of times. Took care of me every day. He just keeps putting it on his account. They stand our feet, bow our heads. As she plays soft, if you need to pray about something, you could come. What a friend she's playing. That seemed to have been the theme tonight. Aren't you glad we have a friend? Thank you for coming out tonight. We appreciate you being in church. Pastor Mike McCoy, thanking you for joining us at the Time of Truth.